Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Dingman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Dingman, and I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we're moving forward about today is we are approximately a week away from Rare Disease Day, like an international worldwide celebration of rare diseases, to which you say, well, Dan, MS isn't a rare disease, is it?
Well, yes, but that's when it was interesting. You and I, let's get the listeners inside our heads for a moment.
A moment inside our head. Come on.
It's a good wasteland. So you could spend a lot of time there.
So welcome me. I'm at the doorstep.
You and I were talking about whether or not MS is a rare disease. I mean, I don't know anyone listening. If you're living with multiple sclerosis, you go to social media and most of your contacts probably have MS, or your support group, you go to your support group meeting. So it feels like MS is everywhere. And as we get closer to the month of March, we're going to see orange, which is the color somewhat associated with MS or sometimes associated with MS. And orange will be everywhere. And so, like Dan and I, we feel like multiple sclerosis, who doesn't have MS? Some of our closest friends, and for some people, family members also have the disease. So when I saw multiple sclerosis was in fact a rare disease, it is a rare disease. And so that made me ask you the question, Dan, when you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, did you have it in your family? Did you know anything about it?
No. I mean, I didn't. And that's where for years I've seen rare disease days and I've supported it, but never did I think, oh, that's me and multiple sclerosis, because it is everywhere. And so when we started thinking and talking about this, and I'm bringing everybody out there listening too, it's like, before you were diagnosed with MS, what did you know about the disease and who did you know? And I turned to Jennifer even just last night. I'm just like, okay, but really, did you have any friends, any contacts, knowledge of a person, not a famous celebrity that had multiple sclerosis before 1997 when you were diagnosed, and me in 2000 when I was diagnosed? And I said, I knew one person, and now I don't want to say that's my life, but I have so many contacts, so many connections, so many people I know with the disease. It's, again, then you're just like, are we really a rare disease? And in fact, we are.
We are. And it is common because we try and immerse ourselves in the MS community, but it is rare. And it's everywhere at the same time, which is, if you're living with MS, that contrary, it's everywhere, but it's rare, that defines MS. Just when you think you got a handle on it, then you find out, oh crap, my disease is a rare disease. And, you know, as Dan says, I've been living with the disease for so long. But as I'm doing some research and I come across the National Organization of Rare Diseases, NORD. Boy, that looks familiar. But back when I was first diagnosed that 25 years ago, 24 years ago, as a matter of fact, I needed assistance to pay for my medication. And I reached out to NORD. And so,
dude, that just hit me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. See, you're having the moment too where you're like, wow. And you don't realize it was rare disease then, and it's still a rare disease. And so we wanted to talk about that because people are probably like, oh my goodness, it's not rare, but it is, you know. There is that population of people that you talked about. And there are certainly more rare diseases, but MS is just a
among the rare of the rare.
Yeah, and not everyone has it. And that's why we're so talkative about it, or why we're so passionate about getting information out there. Because any chronic illness that you're living with, I imagine, is earth-shattering and upsetting. But then when you're living with a disease that can affect you the way that multiple sclerosis has affected us, or continues to affect us, we want to talk about it until somebody finds a way to fix it or to cure it. And we don't want other people to be diagnosed and be as blindsided as we were those 20, 25 years ago.
And it's and that's, I think, what is so encouraging with the Rare Disease Day, and that is February 28th. And I think they indicate that there are 300 million people worldwide who are living with a rare disease. And I know that for us, we always talk about multiple sclerosis, in that there are nearly a million people in the United States living with the disease. And I think it's like 2.6 million worldwide that have multiple sclerosis. And so then you do the math and you think that, okay, MS is an isolating disease and it can make us all feel very much alone. But it's like, if we expand our communities and you reach out and everything, no longer are we just one person with multiple sclerosis. Are we just two people with multiple sclerosis? You look then nationwide, we are two of a million, which still seems pretty small, and then two of 2.5 million worldwide with multiple sclerosis, and that's very rare. But then expand your community, and now all of a sudden we are part of a community of, I would dare say, over 300 million worldwide living with a rare disease that can understand some levels of what that's like to live with a rare condition, and can associate and at least comprehend some of the things of which you are going through.
And maybe not exactly some of the things that we're going through, but you break it out like that there are 300 million worldwide. But even if you're not living with a rare disease, it's just the knowledge that everyone is going through something, and that we as a humanity need to be more understanding and more considerate of each other. But the rare disease is so, it's so frustrating and it's so mystifying. And I have mad respect for doctors that want to try and figure this out, researchers who want to find why we are living with this disease. And so I think that the attention that rare diseases get on February 28th is very important. And hopefully will help us move forward. And, you know, I talk about it, I think about it, and we've had this conversation, and I think it would be interesting for people listening. I don't want to be known as multiple sclerosis Jennifer. I want to be Jennifer who has multiple sclerosis. But if I have to be multiple sclerosis first, then maybe there's a reason I was diagnosed with the disease. But it's interesting. We talk about it a lot. It is a huge part of who we are. But how do you feel, Dan? I mean, you're living with a rare disease that seems incredibly common when you name off the number of people that we know that has the disease. But are you more than just MS? Or are you okay being MS?
Well, I think that when you look at it and you say, okay, I have a rare disease, elevate this and let me walk you and the listeners into my head, think about this, Comma Jennifer, that it's a rare disease and there's nearly a million people in the United States living with multiple sclerosis, a rare disease. Compound on that, that of multiple sclerosis, that more women than men have multiple sclerosis. So then does that make me even more of a rare thing? I think it's like two-thirds, or it's like almost like 70% of women or people who have multiple sclerosis, 70% are women, 30% around about, you know, we're you know, waffling on percentages, but it's around about that, but just a huge percentage. It's not a question of, well, 52% women, 48% men. It's like, no, it's a sizable percentage that is with women. And all of a sudden, then I'm among the blessed men who are among the rare who have a rare disease. And so then it's like, am I multiple sclerosis? And I've said it before, MS doesn't define me. I would rather, I think that I'm doing more to redefining what MS is and what it looks like. You know, it's like that I'm still working full time, that I'm still able, that I'm serving as a caregiver, you know, and let that be the element of me being rare. That, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, that's why I talk about the benefit, the beauty of remote work and how that with the pandemic has opened the door for so many more people. I mean, could I still work in person in an office on site? Sure. But it's just like the ability that it's going to be more conducive to me and my level of ability. I mean, I can do things, but it's like then all of a sudden, would I be able to be as good of a caregiver for you if I was working in an office? And so I'm you asked the question, I just ran with it. So slow down, Dan, come back to the starting line. I just think, and does MS define me? I will let it, because I'm controlling how I'm letting MS define me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I,
what about you then? Are you letting MS define you?
Lately, and I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I feel like I'm letting MS kind of steamroll me. I'm old and I'm tired, and that's why it's good to reach out to my community. You know, you, Dan, you're my caregiver, and I spend oodles of time with you, and I love that. But then we've had the opportunity this past weekend to talk with people in our community in New York or Colorado, someone south Arizona. Of us in Detroit, in Arizona, and just to see your community and to hear other people say, yeah, MS is steamrolling me, or no, stop that. Remember, you have more control than you do. And so stop feeling, I don't think that anyone would ever say stop feeling sorry for yourself, but just stop. Stop and let those toxic little thoughts leave your head. What can you do to control it? And so I don't think the disease defines me, but I remember being diagnosed, and any information about MS that I looked for, I don't know how many times I looked back in the day, because this was 1997, 1998, where old school, like, look up the word cure and look up, is there a cure for MS? And even still now, I imagine people are diagnosed and they Google it and they look, you know, you just want to try and get the disease gone. And so I've always had that mentality. And I don't want to say I embrace my MS now, but without the disease, where would I be? You know, this gives me purpose. This gives my life direction, which is kind of a double-edged sword of sorts, where I don't want MS to give my life direction. I don't want that to be my purpose, but it is, and I have to embrace that, or I have to recognize that this is getting very heady, like a college philosophy class. Forgive me, but you know, I want to say, oh, I control it and I've got this down, but there are days, and I know I can't be alone in saying this. There are days when this disease has me and frustrates me and makes it difficult. So as much as I have the disease, it has me too. And so I don't know. Did I answer your question?
I say you're like a politician. You talked it. Oh, you did. You did. I think it is just like in terms of how does the disease define us? Does it? And if so, how? If not, how not? But it is just in talking about being a rare disease and how do we do that? I think that I don't know. It's just like, is it bad to say I don't have time to stop and think about it? I'm just like, I just do. And I'm, you know, as a writer, as somebody who writes, and when they say, well, or, you know, when you start out as a writer, it's just like, well, what am I going to write about? What do I do? And people always say, write about what you know. Well, is that then me turning the proverbial lemon into lemonade? And it's like, okay, this is what I have. I can write about life with multiple sclerosis. I can let people into that world of my world as I understand it, and how I move forward. And I always think what I wouldn't have given back when I was first diagnosed to have found other voices of other men in a rare rare demographic of a rare disease who are living their life as best they can. And that's all. I'm not looking for people to be superheroes climbing mountains. I mean, obviously that's inspiring, but I want somebody who is attaining something that I can do that's comparable to me in terms of being, you know, a young man. You know, I was diagnosed when I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, what, 3-4 years ago?
yeah.
23 years ago. But I mean, it's just because truly then I didn't observe it. I didn't call attention to it. But I mean, on Valentine's Day, that was that 23 years since I was diagnosed?
Like a bad spouse.
I know, because it's just like, why do we call attention to it? I mean, because it's just like, because it's like, that's what we do. Hey, I forget November, you know, you were diagnosed on November 14th,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you just don't bring that up. I mean, it's just like, that was a day, but it's just like, look at how far we've come though. I mean, it's just like how you define it. It's just like, good Lord, if I would have been told when I was first diagnosed that 24 years later, 23, it would have been. That's always the math. It was of 2000. Anyway, 23 years later, that this is where I would be. I would have, and the experiences I had, what a blessing, you know, because it's just like, and there's crap. I mean, that's where I never want people to think, oh, Digman's just living the dream. It's like, no, this is tough. But it's like, it's surrounding yourself with good people, positive people, building your community, stretching out from just me into other people with MS, you know, citywide, statewide, you know, nationwide, and now worldwide. When you see that there's also the rare disease, and just like you said, Jennifer, we're all dealing with something. How do we find the inspiration to move forward? And that's not just us doing it, it's finding other people. If we want to find other people who are not moving forward, it's like, and that's their thing, but it's just like, find me and where I want to go. And now I'm on my soapbox, I'm off.
Well, and I think that soapbox is like, you set me up, and I don't think you mean to set me up, but you did.
I'm setting
you
up.
So I'm going.
Go, girl.
If you're not ready, I'm sorry, but I'm going.
I'm off.
hop on board. We are speaking of that. You know, we say February 28th is Rare Disease Day. Well, we are going to Washington, D.C. Come hell or high water, we are going to Washington, D.C. There was this little insurrection a few years ago, and both you and I said, oh my goodness, we may never be able to go to Washington, D.C. again. And now we have the opportunity, and I'm scared.
Opportunity, I mean, what's taking it to D.C.?
We're going to Washington, D.C., speaking of soapboxes, to talk about issues, talk to our government officials, our state senators, our representative, just about issues that are important to the MS community. And so we are fortunate to be among 200 other activists with the National MS Society. So we will be going to Washington, D.C. to meet with each other, to talk about these issues that are important to us, and to have the opportunity to talk with legislators. And so you can talk about your community, and yes, that it's a rare disease, but we were given this opportunity to go to D.C., or just we were given this disease, which we've turned into an opportunity to share our voice to help people so they don't feel alone when they are diagnosed. And so we are going to D.C., and it will be awesome, and if it's not awesome, we'll figure it out. And I apologize to my husband that we're getting closer, and I am nervous, and I'm scared. And there, all I can see is the potential negativeness that can happen, whereas Dan is constantly reminding me of all the amazing things that can happen. And as a person living with a chronic illness, I need to remember that, not just about a trip to D.C., but just life in general, that yes, when it's down and dark, you have to remember that it can get better. And so we're going to D.C. We will travel. I will get on an airplane. I will take my wheelchair with me, and we will go speak with legislators, and we'll be powerful. So that has been on my mind right now, and it's interesting how Rare Disease Day and our trip and MS Awareness Week, MS Awareness Month, it all seems to be coming together right here in March. So I just feel like this is a great opportunity to talk about what this disease is like for us, and to make legislators understand what it is like to live with a chronic illness, what it's like to have something active in your body that's making you kind of not as active as you would like to be. In some cases, you and I both, you know, we're aging, but then the disease is active and it's slowing us down. So to have the ears of these legislators where we can talk about, you can't forget people living with chronic illness. You know, MS, there's nearly a million in the United States. But then rare diseases, just think about the odds, how many of us are living with chronic illness or rare diseases. And our voices need to be heard.
Well, and that's what really makes this even more important when we talk about before we were diagnosed, did we know anybody who had multiple sclerosis? And so when we go to DC for the public policy conference, it's like, okay, so then for all of our elected officials, Congressman John Molinar, Senator Debbie Stabenow, and Senator Gary Peters, we want them to have knowledge of two people who live with a rare disease. And that's what we do, and that's why we use our voices. And it's not just about us. We're speaking on behalf of the nearly a million people in the United States living with this disease, and why the issues of which we're going to speak are important. And we will have more on a future episode about those issues. Those are still, we haven't received all of the information on those yet, but we will dig into those and have a stellar episode about those issues. But just like why that's important, and why we as a community whether you have multiple sclerosis or anything that's deemed as rare, and we'll encourage you to go to our liner notes that will have a link to the Rare Disease Day website that has tons and tons and tons of information. And I love their downloadable posters and posts, Instagram, social media, to increase awareness. And that's what it is just increasing the awareness so people understand and know. And when you're diagnosed with something like that, you know you're not alone, because there's all of this stuff out there for you and the people to help.
And that's super important. And that community is there. And we are more than our diseases. And so I think today, just to talk about this, has been really powerful. So thank you for listening. And that's just, thanks for letting me get on my soapbox for a second.
Well, I got on mine first.
Trip to DC. So it's good. And I'm getting my orange out and we're going to go. And it will be powerful. And I have been on Noom, my diet. I think I told you all about Noom. And I'm not losing weight as much as I want or as quickly as I want, but I'm still trying to be healthy. It's only been a few weeks, so I can't give up. So if you're with me out there listening and you're being challenged by your weight and you have any good advice or tips, please send them to us. I would love to read them, or any struggles you want to share, or you want to kvetch with me. I want to lose some weight, and I am sorry for the men or women that have to transfer me on the airplanes, but it's a nonstop issue, and I'm still modeling with Central Michigan University in the beginning of April. So I have goals, and that's one thing. If you take anything away from this podcast, you know, certainly about rare disease and the importance and the power of your voice, but having something to look forward to, whether it be spring, a fashion show, a trip to Washington, D.C., or even eating ice cream at 8 o'clock at night, which I would love to do, but again, I'm going to be a model. Yeah, I'm going to be Nooming, so I'm going to watch it. But I just think we're all over the place, and that's multiple sclerosis in a nutshell.
I love that. It truly is all over the place. So thank you all for listening, and check in with us on our website, acoupletakesonms.com, and on Twitter is @coupletakesonms. There's no A in that. That's what tripped me up. So @coupletakesonms. And until next time, we really appreciate you taking the time to listen and share with us, because this is a community and we're not in this alone. And so until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care.